Lord God, just I ask you'd help my words at this time to not only speak in love, but we're told to speak the truth in love. And we pray, Lord, that that being done, your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and minds and help us. Help us to know how much we're loved by you, but help us to know, too, that that love is for all. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking of maybe a possible title might be how to stop playing God or how to quit being God because we judge. This is really heavy stuff. As a matter of fact, the last reading from the gospel was as well. You can see two quotes that I found. Billy Graham, of course, both these are passed away not too long ago. Billy Graham especially. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. God's job to judge. It's my job to love. I like that. Mother Teresa. And what a great example there. Huh? If you judge people, you have no time to love them. Yep. Cool. So I want to talk about judging. You can see from your outlines. First point, just a couple of points, but I left it purposely scant. And I would ask you, I'm going to write down some Bible verses as to when I'll share some Bible verses with you as to when we shouldn't judge. There are times that the Bible says when we shouldn't judge. There's times when we should judge. As parents have to judge. You guys know this. You have kids, you have older kids or younger kids, you know there's times we just have to because God's given us that authority to. Students, you know for a fact, you guys have to judge, right? I mean, you're in school. You have to make a judgment because somebody's going to ask you to do something. You're going to see somebody doing something. You have to judge. Please judge righteously. Please judge right because your choices can really have a bearing on you and others. So, you know, there are times we have to judge, but we just plain judge too much, I think. I'm a judgmental person. I certainly am. And, you know, why do we judge? Well, I think one reason why we judge, all right, is because the law is written on our hearts. So the law is written on our hearts, and that's just the way we are. We're made like that, and God's made us like that. And then we fell into sin. Because of sin, you remember when people fell into sin, they gained the knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? Let's just flesh that out for a little bit because it applies to judging. Now, when you see somebody, let's say you're driving in your car and you see somebody run through a stop sign, what do you think? I know what my mom would say. My mom always said, "Where is a cop when you need one?" That's what she would say. Why did you think that? Why? C.S. Lewis thought this was a really... We need to pause. Why did we think that? That was in our mind. You see, we had... animals don't think like that. When we lived in Africa and we saw, you know, animals killed, maybe you've seen, you know... Anyway, from what I've noticed, and I've mentioned this before, but it's stuck with my heart and my mind, is I never saw like a herd of zebras come back to the lion and start scolding them. They just don't do that. It's not in their mind. They just don't think like that. We think differently. You see, here's what I think is happening. Is we believe that God keeps a record. We believe in our mind that God has a book. And we believe that God is a good bookkeeper and he keeps score of everything. And that's why we appeal to God to keep track. So we know that there's a book. Whether we admit it, every human being is aware of this because every human being knows, they sense, this is not right, this is wrong. And you've heard the expression, what goes around, comes around. The other shoe's gonna fall. He's gonna get his just comeuppance. That's a good one for my mom. So we have this sense. We have a sense, we know that God keeps the books. We know that he keeps the books, and so that is in our heart and mind. That came to us when we fell into sin. And so we have this knowledge of good and evil. We have a conscience. We know that God is keeping a score. He works like this. This is how sin is just building up. And when we see somebody do something wrong, we know that that person is going to get what's coming to him. And what we do is we have that mindset of judgment. We kind of live like that. What that's called in the Bible is it's called living under the law. That's what that's called in the Bible. And that's why Paul says we're all living under law. We're all under law. Because that's how we live. That's judgment. We all live in judgment. That's what we mean when we're all judgmental people. We all look at the world like that. What the world leaves out is Christ, you see. And I think it's really cool in the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain here, Christ is like right in the middle. He's the gap. He's the Savior. He's the one that bridges this between us and God. And so we live with judging. It's a reality of who we are. God's way, though, is grace. And God's way is to be under grace. And the two are antithetical to each other. The two are diametrically opposed to each other. They're not the same. And, you know, the other thing is because of who we are, judging is kind of sweet to us. There's a verse I put in the outline from the Proverbs. It says, "Gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it." You got to think about it. You know, when you were at the workplace or if you're at the workplace and you hear somebody whispering out in the hall, like, sometimes you kind of stop. It's like, "Oh, what's that? Oh, no, I wouldn't judge them for that." But, you know, we're listening and there's something. See, what's happening there is there's two things happening. You have your sinful self, and that is being fed by that. It needs to be fed. We're spiritual creatures sold under the law in sin, and we're being fed by that. So that sort of gossiping and talking feeds us. That's why it satisfies. And the other way is to be fed by Christ and to be filled up and fed by Him. And that satisfies your soul. That satisfies you spiritually. That satisfies a different reality of who you are. See, you're in Christ and you're still wrestling with the flesh. And so you're feeding one or you're feeding the other. And that's, you know, that's the way it works with us. We're, Paul talks about this in Romans. He said, "Oh, wretched man, who could deliver me from this?" And he said, "Thanks be to God through Christ." That's the hope. So we want to talk about the hope. Let me just share. I want to share. I'm sorry. I'm just like in kind of teaching mode, I think. But I want to share this with you. Some places in the Bible where it says it's wrong to judge. So I'll share a few Bible verses with you of where it is wrong to judge and why. The first one comes to us from Romans chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "You therefore have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge others, you are condemning yourself." And that's like what we saw in the video where, you know, you're doing the same thing that you judge somebody else for. And Christ was a master. Oh my goodness, He was so spot on. And these guys are ready to stone that prostitute caught in the very act. And He just says, "Okay, so the one that doesn't have any sin, go ahead and throw the first stone." And they all walked away. And there's a verse in Colossians, verse 2:16, which I think is really helpful for us. It's really helpful for us who are churchgoers. Colossians 2:16, it says, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat, drink, or regard to religious festivals, new moons, Sabbath days. These are shadows of things to come. Reality, however, is found in Christ." So Paul is saying it's wrong to judge people based on their spirituality. He's saying we really shouldn't judge people based on, you know, they worship and what their worship services are like. We, even at Trinity, we have different worship services. And when we were in Sierra Leone years ago, I mean, man, they would like dance in the aisle. And our family knows, you know, I mean, you can get, I mean, I would not recommend that here necessarily, but, you know, I mean, it's just kind of different. And so we shouldn't judge that. It's bigger than that. And that can be distracting for us. Here's a big one that trips me up, trips all of us up. John 7:24. Jesus says, stop judging by mere appearance and make right judgment. It's wrong for us to draw conclusions just based on first encounters. I do that. We all do that. And actually, I was looking it up. You know, we do that for the sake of sanity. We have to. With the amount of information that we're exposed to and just processing reality, we have to make these judgments. It helps us. It guides us. But we're asked to pause because, as it said in the video, are we seeing the heart? Are we seeing really the heart of the person? One more I want to share with you. Actually, maybe probably two more I'll share with you. One comes from actually our gospel text. It's in Matthew 2, but if you look at the outline, there's a great verse in here in 41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? I'm sorry, that just cracks me up. I mean, if you think about it, you know, like a little thing of sawdust. And then, because I'm thinking of the word in Greek is a log. I mean, it's like, so if you can picture like a big old tree, that's the word that Christ uses. So you have this big old log in your own eye. Here's the point. It blinds us. What happens is it blinds us to our own faults. One of the greatest examples of this is King David with Bathsheba. The prophet Nathan came to him and told him this parable after he had fallen into adultery and the baby was born. And he tells him this parable and David goes, man, find that guy. This guy, he's got to be judged. And he was, it says in the text, he was really upset. And Nathan just stops and he goes, you're the guy. It's like, oh. He couldn't see it. See, he couldn't see it because it blinds us. We can't see that. It's not possible. And aren't you glad God is gracious and kind? I'm so glad that He is gracious and kind. And this is what we need to really concentrate on. It's His goodness and His kindness and His grace. One last thing that's important as far as why we shouldn't judge from the Bible. And this comes from James. The book of James, this is a really powerful one, excuse me, that really spoke to me loudly. It says, brothers, do not slander one another. This is James 4:11. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Now, a few weeks ago in our cell group, we were talking about the law and we were going through Revelation. We were talking about some different things. And you know, as we were going through that, I was thinking about some things in light of this verse. Because what we do is it's really wrong for us to speak evil of another Christian. And I thought, really, what does that mean? What are we doing? I'm trying to understand it in my mind. And then I had this picture in my mind of Mount Sinai. Have you guys read in Genesis or in Exodus chapter 20? And it describes Mount Sinai. This thing was smoking. It was a volcano. The cloud came down. There was a voice that was thundering so loud that people were asking God not to speak. And they said, don't speak to us. We're going to die if you speak to us. And so God says, okay, I won't speak to you. Send Moses up and I'll give him the law. And if an animal touched that mountain, they had to kill it. I mean, this was like terrifying. And so I thought, okay, what he's really telling me here, if I were to visualize this and give you a word picture, it's like me when I'm judging another person, it's like me going to Mount Sinai, going up on the top of that mountain and saying, God, you can get down off the mountain now. I got this.
I'm able to mete out the law right now. I know what the law says, and I'm just take a breather now. I got this, God. And we're actually, that's what James is trying to tell us. He's trying to say, you're actually kicking God off Mount Sinai. You're putting yourself on Mount Sinai. And that just struck me. It was like, oh, I see what he's trying to tell me. Because I could not understand that verse before. I really couldn't piece it together in my mind. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but that helped me so I could kind of see that. Let me share in closing. I want to just, because none of us get this right. None of us do. I don't. And I can tell you, I mean, you can talk to my friends, you can talk to my family. I don't, and none of us do. And so we just need to realize that, you know, we're really called to love one another. And it can get really complicated sometimes. I heard a story by a guy named David Roper. Let me share this with you. And so David shares this in a book that he wrote. He said there was a man that was at this firm, and he said it was in Dallas. This is where it was. So what they would do is every Thanksgiving they would give their employees a turkey. And the turkey that they would give them had the head and the feet, right? So this guy hated turkey. He really just despised it. And of course, he complained and moaned that he had to get this thing and he wished he had something else. But so his workmates took the turkey, left the head and the feet on it, and put something else on the inside and then wrapped it up. So he didn't know. And so he leaves with this turkey, and he's riding home, and as he's riding home, there's somebody sitting next to him who he actually starts talking to this guy, and the guy says, I don't have a job, and I'm kind of hurting and everything. And so David says that his heart went out to him, and you know where this is going. He gave him the turkey. And then he found out after the holiday what had actually happened. And he felt terrible. He felt absolutely horrible. Wanted to find the guy, never found the guy again. And you think about how that guy felt. I mean, he would have just brought it home to his family and realized, you know, what kind of people do we have in this world? Can you believe how people treat each other? Can you believe how horrible that is? This is just uncalled for. You know, it happens like this. It happens with you and me. It happens with one another. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. Where are our feet? Where, you know, what are we? You know, I mean, I just think about it at some point. You know, we just really have to. And I'm sorry, but I'm not a real political person. I'm really not. And I'm just so sick and tired. We should be sick and tired of the tenor that's in our nation right now. Oh my goodness, even in the world, it is so common for people. I don't care what their flavor is politically, it doesn't matter. But for me just to stand up, or for a person rather, not for me, but for a person to stand up and just marginalize some person and just speak bad about them, not having any idea or reason or heart for a solution. Your job is only at that point just to diss that person and speak bad of them and marginalize them and cut them out, and that's it. And I've done the right thing. No, you have not. And I can't agree with that, and we should not agree with that as Christians. Absolutely not. It stops with us. It begins with us. I believe that. Now, we don't always get that right. And that's not the point. The idea is not for us to be perfect, because we have Christ that paid for us. And it's difficult. It's very difficult for us. You know, I don't know, sometimes being judgmental, for me, it's I'm afraid. You know, you're afraid. You're worried, and you just have to let that go. You just got to give that to God. You just got to hand that over to Him. He is that powerful, that awesome. He loves you. He cares for you. Yes, He can even handle the situation. He can handle that person. Because if my patience changes that person, he's going to be the person that Christ wants him to be. And may God open up our hearts and minds to see like that. That's love. I think that's what Jesus is getting to. He's kind of knocking on the door of our heart. And he's saying, give pause to this. Give some thought to this. I've used this example before, you know, but it's stuck with me. You know, if you think about this world as a big cauldron and it's boiling up and it's cooking up a big soup, you know, you put different seasonings in it. What season are we bringing to it? You know, really, we want it to have that flavor. And that's a powerful thing. And God's doing this. God's doing this in us. So be encouraged. Let's encourage one another. Let's lift one another up in love. Take each other by the hand and say, you know, I'm not perfect, but I need you and you need me. And God's gonna work through us. James wrote it like this. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Isn't that great? Only God could do that, because I can't. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the mercy and grace of the cross triumphed over you, calling us into account for our sins. Lord, we sense the burden of our sins. We sense, Lord, our weaknesses and when we have failed and when we have judged. But Lord God, we thank you for great grace upon grace and the goodness of that, Lord. Shower that down upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.